Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2019 season preview for the Brisbane Lions. So we're just giving them a bit of time in their own episode. So we'll go through their 2018 before we look at their 2019. And Brisbane this year, coming off a wooden spoon, had 5 wins and 15th. But it was better than 5 wins though, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, you look at where Brisbane are headed. They're headed up. And they got a lot of games into some young players, particularly their rookies.
Yeah, they got good games into them too. As in, there were games where the pressure was on and they played well.
They played four quarters as well.
Yeah, and there were some games where you've got like Cam Rayner doing shit and you're like, oh, fuck you. We'll get into him, I'm sure. But yeah, they had a very good developmental 2018.
I'm glad we've got to Brisbane in our season preview primer / let's not go down that path now, because it's the first time you can actually be positive in earnest with the teams.
Because every team comes into the season hopeful. Some teams are destined for disappointment, but I think Brisbane can be definitively hopeful.
If anything, my only criticism of Brisbane was they're a little bit too positive this year. Like, it was a great year, though. I mean, that coming out of back-to-back wooden spoons and playing like shit, they had good games.
Yeah.
They had really good games.
Yeah. And they strung some together as well. It wasn't just like playing a good half or a good game and that's it. There was a little session where they put together, a good block.
But it still was only 5 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like they were never in contention for finals.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, if they had a Gold Coast-style exodus and all the players are up for grabs, every team is going to be targeting at least 3 or 4 players. Yeah. Whereas you can't say that for every team.
And they're all in the right age bracket
as well.
But let's go through their highs for the year. I think their high is very, very easy, and that's the effect that Luke Hodge had on the team, especially with back 2 wins over Hawthorn, including 1 down in Tassie. And those wins weren't lucky either, and they weren't, close.
No.
They were decisive.
Is Hodge back at the Hawks yet?
No, that's no.
Next year, was it? Next or this year? End of this year, right.
No, we let him coach for 1 year, then we bring him back.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It's like the best way to get someone to pick apart your weaknesses is to send them off, in isolation and say, all right, how would you beat my team? Hodge has done that twice this year or last year. So,
Well, it was funny, though, because the second game he didn't play because he was rested or injured. And they're saying, they've got to do it without Hodge. I'm like, no. He's sitting in the coach's box.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing his job.
He's just as good up there as what he is out in the field.
Yeah, probably better.
Well, I think 2019 will be tough for him just because the runners and water guys can't be on the field as much.
Yeah. He's going to miss out a little. He played well this year. He played better this year than he did the year before, his last year at Hawthorn. So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I also said one of their highs was the Collingwood game in round 2 or 3.
Yeah.
They actually lost the game.
Yeah.
But it was my vote for game of the year. It was an absolute cracker of a game. And geez, it was on for young and old, and if not for a little bit of brilliance right at the end with Stevenson, I think it was Stevenson and DeGoey, I'm testing my memory there, they would have pulled away with a win, and that was an absolutely cracker of a game, high paced, high skilled. Even though they lost, it was still a high point for me.
But they lost pretty, if you get what I mean.
It was brilliant.
You can lose ugly and lose pretty, and they play attractive football to watch. It's very free-flowing. Sometimes it's a bit too high risk, but that's still entertaining.
Yeah. But would you rather look good and lose or look bad and win?
Well, I'd rather look bad and win, but that wasn't on the cards. So you could look bad and lose or look good and lose. So in that case, they look good and lost, and that's the better of the two options that were realistically available at the time.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Billy Ho.
So what are their lows?
Back to their highs.
I got more highs.
I put their highs as the block from round 15 to round 18. I feel like that's when they had that young team that came together and played as a team that had confidence. Round 15, you've got, obviously not beaten cracking amazing teams, but Round 15, you beat the Dockers, 119-64. Round 16, Carlton, 120-55. 17, Hawks, 98-65. And then you're playing the Crows. And they only lost by 5 points.
Yep.
And this was in the last quarter, they kicked 4 goals 3 to 1 goal 4 and almost got over the top of the Crows.
Almost.
I mean, few injuries for the Crows, but they're still the Crows.
Over those 4 weeks, averaging over 100 points.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And if you watch the game, you could see the confidence of that team, which I think was based on the previous 3 weeks, where they played very well together and looked to be offensive as opposed to figuring out, you know, how do we stop the bleeding of scoring.
But even if you take a pessimistic view and say, yeah, okay, but they only beat bloody Freo and Carlton.
Yeah.
They beat them convincingly, and that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Both those teams. And they did. And, you know, they look like they had so much run in them, too, in the Hawthorn games, because obviously I watched those games closer. The last high was just their overall look. The game, you can see what they're trying to do.
It
looks much, much better. Yep. And they look balanced. So their lows. No matter how you spin it, starting the season 0-8 isn't that great.
Very true. Yes.
Even though they look good in a couple of games, it's still 0-8.
Yep. Yeah. And I put round 4 against the Tigers. That was, terrible.
Shocking. Terrible. Game, that one.
Kicked 4 points in the first half to 8 goals 10. It's just, you got to put up more than that as a professional team. It wasn't MCG, but it was raining. So even if you're not scoring many points or goals, you still have to stop the other team from scoring a fuck ton of goals and points in the rain.
True story. I was on my way to that game with the old man.
Yep.
And when we were in the car on the Eastern Freeway, it bucketed down. Yep. And I mean, it came from nowhere. So there was heavy, heavy rain out of nowhere. And we went, fuck this, let's go to Etihad instead.
Yeah.
We went and watched the Swans versus the Bulldogs, which started at 2 hours later.
Yeah.
It's still...
Benefits of an AFL membership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We weren't there for nothing.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right, though. That was just deplorable.
To me, the one that would have put the shits up every Brisbane supporter was when Harris Andrews, his emerging talent, looks brilliant. You forget how fucking young he is.
Yeah.
The amount of times he can run forward and, kick goals or set them up and run back and keep full forwards goalless. But when he got KO'd by Cameron and apparently had bleeding on the brain.
Yeah, it was serious.
Yeah, that was a nasty fucking
That's the one. Elbow. That's the one where you'd be up in arms because he could turn into anything. I mean, if you had a Big Mac occasionally and put a couple of kilos on, he would be an absolute belter.
Like you say, though, he's still young, but he's taking on big guys and more experienced players. And he's going to be all Australian, and if not this year, then the year after.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought also finishing having a close loss to Gold Coast, you want to build some rivalry there to get fans in seats. You'd want to win that one.
You shouldn't be losing to Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the biggest rival at the moment is probably GWS, based off that Cameron hit, because they're going to want to represent there.
Yeah, who are their rivals? I mean, they've got a little rivalry with Geelong, based off Miracle on Grass.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a bit one-sided of late.
A little bit. I mean, I guess they're building one with Hawthorn now.
You know, Port Adelaide, maybe, because, Alistair punched someone ages ago.
One of the Wakeland twins.
I'd punch him too, but I'd punch Alistair as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The other low is obviously losing Clay and Dane Beams. Dane Beams is a funny one because, is he going to go? And then he comes out the best and fairest and says, no, I'm staying. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And then he went.
Yeah.
Although I don't see there's anything sinister in it. I think it's just a guy that's changing his mind and obviously torn.
I feel like maybe Collingwood hadn't given the yes, we'll definitely take you yet. So he's like, nah, I'm definitely staying. And they're like, actually, we'll take it. I'm gone.
Yeah. What would I leave? I love you guys.
Yeah.
We'll pay you a shit ton more.
I love them too.
Which is actually speaking.
I'll give him benefit of doubt. I think he was just really, really torn. I'm also on the other side of it. I don't see it as a bad thing because Collingwood didn't want to lose him in the first place, but they knew the situation with his old man and they went, we're not happy about it, but we'll do it. And now he's come back. You go, fair enough.
So,
well, you owed him a favour, and they cashed it.
They cashed it in. Yeah.
Who's their double ups this year? Did we go through that?
Not yet. We've got their. We'll start looking at their 2019.
Yep.
We'll look at their ins first.
Yep.
They got Lincoln McCarthy from Geelong. Mm. Yeah. Jared Lyons. Yeah. Marcus Adams from the Bulldogs, who is an absolute monster.
The specimen.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't believe they got him. I really wish that Hawthorn put their hands up. What a pickup. I mean, he's got some injury issues, but...
Yeah, he's exactly what they need.
Wouldn't he be great in that back line with Harris Andrews?
Yeah, and that's what they
get
need.
His body right.
Someone big like that, you're an enforcer in that back line.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like we said in the other ones, when you've got in the other lower-ranked teams, when you've got young players coming in and there's no one there to protect them,
yeah.
they're exposed and they're so vulnerable and they're worried about getting the ball. But you have a bloke like Marcus Adams come in and he says, lad, don't worry about it. You go for it.
I got you covered.
Yeah, you're like, geez, he's got 44-inch biceps. Well, I reckon I'm safe.
Well, they had Sauce Bottle Merritt, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is an upgrade on that, I reckon. So,
yeah, yep.
It just, if they can keep his body right.
And plus, he's going to sell a bunch of posters to the young girls who are running around Brisbane.
And if you're going to lose Dane Beams, Lachie Neal's not a bad addition.
Yeah.
If I had my druthers, I'd take Dane Beams, but Lachie Neal's more than handy.
Oh, I don't know. I think Lachie Neal's one of those guys that, if he has a good season, he's Brownlow potential. You can say the same about Dane Beams, I suppose.
Best season of his career last year, so.
Get up there, yeah. I mean, he's handy. He walks into any side in the competition.
Yeah. Well, he's hitting his prime in regards to age and form, yeah. I feel. 26 exactly. years old, yeah.
So he'll be the senior player when their last couple of high draft picks are getting into their prime.
Yeah.
They're 23, 24. You know, in a couple of years. Yeah.
But I feel like he could play that sort of Ackermanis, Heath Black role. But they need a Voss there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not literally Voss there because they tried that.
It didn't work out so well. They're outs. Well, we've already covered off the Beams. We'll leave them. Pierce Hanley, he's headed back home.
Yep.
He was a handy player. Geez, he had some dash about him.
He definitely had some good spells.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was never consistent, but, I mean, we didn't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Never hold expectations on him either.
No. Tom Bell. Fair enough.
Yeah.
It was Paparone. Paparone, I saw him in his first season, and I thought, oh, yeah, this kid's got something. He could go anywhere.
Yeah,
I thought the same too.
Never really got there, so I've got no worries with that out. And Sam Mays as well. A little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
I think he should have been better than what he was and probably could have held on to him.
Mm.
I felt the same about Jack Frost. I thought he looked like at stages he was going to be something.
Vegan Brock Lesnar, as I love to call him.
Yeah.
But I think injuries really robbed him.
Yeah.
But he was a great trier, especially down in, when he was at Collingwood.
Hmm. Yeah, but you get a guy called Jack Frost and you send him north of the Heat. I mean, that's just fucking dumb.
It's not fair, is it?
No.
And I said Pierce Hanley. It's obviously Kieran Hanley. All right, so their double ups you're after, Brenton. So we got the double ups. Of course, they got the Gold Coast Q clash.
Yeah.
Get some marketing, guys.
Yeah.
Double ups with Hawthorn, North, Port, and the Bulldogs. You know what?
It's not bad.
They went 2-0 against the Hawks this year. They'd be looking to do that again, I reckon.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really, really good set of double ups to find out where you are. Like, Gold Coast, they should kill.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
But with North and their injuries and Hawthorn and their injuries, they're gettable sides for Brisbane, and if you can split the difference, you're doing well. And if you can then give the Bulldogs a bit of a toweling, which I think that's doable for
absolutely.
Them.
We just did, let's have a look at the Saints double ups, which we just did. They got Melbourne, Crows, Frio, and Gold Coast and Carlton, but fuck them. But yeah. Melbourne, Crows, Frio versus Bulldogs, Port, North, and Hawks. Yeah. I'd much rather Brisbane's.
Absolutely.
I reckon this is absolutely bottler of a draw.
Even the game at double against Port, like with that running team, young team that Brisbane have got, if they can put pressure on early, Port will fall to pieces. It's just the height that's going to worry them.
Well, now that Port have lost a lot of players too.
Yeah, Brisbane played a lot of good footy, especially at, I was going to say Footy Park, but it's Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
against Port. You know, they've put the wind up them a few times and should have won some games in the last couple of years over there.
But they don't play a dissimilar style, like a very much a running, ball-carrying style. And Port losing Pollock and losing Wingard, which, you know, will be funny for those matches too. I think, all those double-ups are really going to set the standard. Because if you can split a difference with them, your season's okay. If you can then get 2-0 against some of them, you've had a great season.
Realistically, there's 10 games there, obviously, with five teams doubling up. They should be looking at 7 or 8 wins.
Realistically.
Realistically, looking at 7 or 8.
Yeah, which brings you at 12 for the season at least. You pick up a couple here and there.
And 10 isn't out of the question. I mean, that's a stretch, obviously, because you never know what happens on the day. But they're not being silly, if that's what they're trying to do.
Well, you look at it, for the last few years, they've been a bottom-tier side.
They've had multiple bloody wooden spoons.
Yeah, but I think for 2019, they're a mid-tier side, and they should be looking at being mid to upper mid.
Yep. So, who's in for a big year for them? Who are we looking out for this year?
Well, I had the two recruits in Marcus Adam and Lachie Neal. I feel like if they can have that running with the young team that put in good stretches during the season, that can carry that momentum that they sort of attained in the last half of last year and really hit the ground running, especially with those double-ups that they've got.
Losing Dane Beams. Well, they lost Clay as well, not that he played that often, but Dane Beams and was it Rockliffe, you know, a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Rockliffe was more the accumulator and Dane Beams was just, you know, he's a superstar. But I think Lachie Neal was a good replacement because he is on the accumulating side.
Yeah. Like, he averaged 30.3 disposals last year and 4 tackles.
Yeah.
A 26-year-old. That's what you want from a midfielder.
That's
who's
not bad.
Not just offensive-minded, but is paying attention to his man that he's supposed to man up as well.
Yeah, exactly. And God knows, when you're at Frio, you've got to do a lot of manning up because you've got the ball that
Exactly.
Often.
Well, I think mentioned before that they need a Voss-style player. Cameron is the bloke that can play that style. And his rookie season, fantastic. Can he bring it up to the next level again? I reckon he can.
Well, second year. Is he second or third year this year?
Second year this year.
So I believe in second year Blues.
Yeah.
But I had him down as one of the players for a big year as well. Because his first year, there was a couple of times where, you know, late in the game, he had a shot on goal to win the game and bottled it, you know, at least twice. But I really like Fagan's afterwards. He said, but he got the ball.
Yeah, true.
That's what you want from these players that you're going to hang your bloody club on.
Well, he didn't just get the ball. He got the ball and was like, right, I got this. I'm going to have a shot. And look, he didn't end up putting it through the big ones, but he wasn't scared of the moment.
No, exactly right.
He was
exactly
like,
right.
This is what I'm playing footy for. And every kid dreams that moment, but some of them get worried and try and hand off.
Hey, right place, right time, wrong execution. But you've got another 15 years to make good on that. And this is where it starts for him.
But I'm almost worried about him becoming a player because if he is going to be just a fucking belter.
He is. McCluggage as well, who's a year older.
Yep.
He's shown glimpses of it as well. He might not have the same flair as Cam Rayner and maybe not the same size, but he's coming in for his third season now and you'd expect him to make some leaps now. Because 3 years in is when they really start to go, okay, this is how you play the game.
Yeah. But if he's your standard setter, you've got a fucking good squad.
Fucking oath, yeah. Mm. I mean, he's number one or number two draft pick.
Yeah, was it the same? They had one or two, didn't
they? Exactly. Not that year.
I'm pretty sure he had one.
Eric Hipwood as well.
Yeah.
He's the one that could go either way because sometimes he looks like he could be the next Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
And other times he looks like he could be the next Lewis Roberts Thompson.
Yeah.
Again, needs to get on the meat pies a little bit.
Yeah.
I think at some stage you just got to accept it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Dustin Fletcher build.
Yeah, I think he's a Fletcher.
The whole AFL is looking for the next of both of those two players as well. So we'll keep your name out of that hat.
He's got some potential. He's got some height and just, God damn it. If he puts it all together, he'd be unstoppable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right now, if you had a pick of him or Joe Danaher, who'd you take?
Oh, Joe Danaher's on his ass.
Forget about it.
I mean, he just didn't sit out the entire season.
I'd take McCluggage for sure.
Hipwood.
I'll take McCluggage. Hipwood.
All right. Who's on the outer? Who's in trouble?
I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's like immediately like this dude's fucked, but I've put down Josh Walker. I think he's getting a bit old. He only averaged 14 disposals and 1 tackle. Cambridge Geelong, which would have had a pretty good pedigree, and you expect him to be in there doing something more important?
He was a VFL player at Geelong, yeah. Really. And I think he's still one of those guys that's going to come in for 8 games a year.
Yeah, well, we mean, he played at the start, had a played shit house, and got dropped for the middle half of the season. There's a lot of halves in that season. Yeah. the last third, he no consistency, but he did get 20 disposals plus a couple of times.
Yeah,
but still not good enough to be able to hold your spot.
Yeah. Well, the one I reckon's on the outer, but not for a bad reason, is probably Hodge. Not because he hasn't succeeded, but because he has.
Yeah.
To the point where his job will be almost done at the end of the year, and then can move into coaching roles, probably back at Hawthorn. But it'll get to the point, I think, in 2020 where he's keeping a young player out of the side.
We don't take rookie coaches. We let them go somewhere else and earn their stripes, and then we find out they're good or not, then we bring them back. I think he's only playing because they've asked him to this year.
More than likely, and he's getting the paycheck, so fair play to him.
Yeah, but you say that, it's probably minimum wage he's getting too. I can't imagine it'd be much more than that. Or they're, you know...
Yeah, Hodges out there making $12 an hour. he gets paid $24 a week.
All I'm saying is, Light and Easy is probably paying him more for those stupid ads. Yeah.
Probably, and to be fair, up in Brisbane during summer, you're selling a fair bit of Light and Easy too. So he's making money now.
I've got a contentious one on the outer, because...
I just imagine Hodgie with this, like, pyramid scheme. Come over, buy my Light and Easy.
Good habit.
Get in my downline.
I've got some essential oils.
I think they're outs. They did get rid of a few, you know, list cloggers, as Terry Wallace used to call them.
Yeah,
I got one potential outer in Daniel Rich.
Yeah, I thought so too.
He's been sort around.
Looked over.
Yeah. And everyone says one of the best ball users when he's on his game, but he seems like, I don't know if it's an attitude thing, or he can go off his game very quickly.
Oh, yeah, very, very easily, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like saying I'm the best porn star when I'm teamed up with a lesbian crew. Like, yeah, it doesn't happen, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It is just like that, I guess.
But that was probably on the fly. I'm a couple of years deep now. I don't know where I'm going with that one.
I'd like to digest that analogy, but it's Brisbane. No one's listening to this podcast anyway. Let's put it on the back burner. We'll save it for Adelaide.
Well, look, Brisbane, if you can sort of put that to a test, and look, up in the Gold Coast, there's probably a fair opportunity. Yeah. So, let us know.
If someone knows what Josh is talking about, let us know.
But on the other side of it, I mean, there is still opportunity for Daniel Rich to make a big contribution this year, because there's been a lot of times where he's been the only one in the midfield, in that midfield, you have to worry about.
Yeah,
you
know, very true.
You're stopping
very
him,
true.
Just worry about him.
Yep.
Now there are others, and he can use that booming left foot of his and be a distributor. So if he's only averaging 20 to 21 touches a season, but they're, you know, those halfback inside 50s, 60-metre bullets, go with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. There's no worries about that.
You want 20 touches a game, I reckon. No, 20 touches a season is probably a shit.
Yeah,
game. Yeah, game. So where have we got them finishing? They were 15th with 5 wins last year.
I have them with a massive improvement of finishing...
15th.
So no improvement whatsoever.
No improvement whatsoever.
Very, very down on Brisbane.
Thing is, even when I was going through my ladder predictions, I was like, Brisbane, they're gonna move up. And I was slotting 15th, then realised it's the same spot. Yeah.
Where you got them?
I've got them finishing 13th. So I've got them going up a little bit because I do feel like last year they were a little bit too happy with themselves.
Yeah.
So only 5 wins.
Yeah.
But if everything clicks, they could sneak into finals.
Yeah, you see,
I'm not saying they will, though.
I do love an underdog, and I am a bit of an optimist.
I've got them first, is what you're saying.
I've got them 11th.
Yeah, think 11th. I mean, externally, they'll be saying, you know, we're here, we want to challenge for finals. But I think if they got 11th, that's probably 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah.
They're probably going, yeah, okay, we've done something.
I think they're pretty fucking stoked with 11.
Yeah.
Well, it shows improvement, but it also it very much depends. If they get 10th, but they don't get games into their new recruits and, you know, they're trying to consolidate a team that's already there, you'd say that's negative. But if they get to 11th, but their young lads are firing again, next thing you know, they've got 10 players who are all in the 20 to 26 age bracket who are playing great footy.
Yeah.
That's where you set up a good run at a final.
One good thing, I think, is 3 teams finished below them last year. I don't see them, any of them catching them this year.
Yeah, for sure.
They're looking up. They're definitely looking up in that sense.
I think they're, out of the last year's side that finished bottom four, they're the only team that can somewhat frequently kick over 100 points.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do us for the Lions.
Yeah, good luck.
Cheers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.